أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربنا إنك تعلم ما نخفي وما نعلن وما يخفى على الله من شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء. الحمد لله الذي وهب لي على الكبر إسماعيل وإسحاق إن ربي لسميع الدعاء. رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء. رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء. ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد, respected elders and friends, just a brief, very brief introduction to our very honorable illustrious Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Shah Abdul Hamid Sahib Madrazilul Ali. And this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala himself introduces himself in the very first chapter of Qur'an Kareem. And if we know the personality, then we can benefit even more. So just to give you a very, very brief introduction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all commands us in the Qur'an Kareem, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَا الصَّادِقِينَ, that, O people of Iman, you are my friends, but just inculcate one more great quality in your life, which is called taqwa. Taqwa in essence means to get the great love of Allah, that every moment you are concerned and worried that Allah must be happy with me. And where you will get this taqwa is the very, very, very valuable gift. In other words, a person should be striving for taqwa. And we should be looking out, where can we find taqwa? Allah Ta'ala said, very easy, كُونُوا مَا الصَّالِحِينَ. Just be what my true friends, those in their public life, private life, all the time, they're in contact with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We are supposed to be looking for these great friends of Allah. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's special mercies and kindness, Allah Ta'ala has brought a wali in our presence. From amongst the Sadiqeen, Hazrat Mu'ana Shah Abdul Hamid Sahib Maddazil Ali. Hazrat is that great personality who has done great service of deen. From the time Hazrat completed his studies, all the time in the efforts of deen, serving our country. And then not only our country, our whole African states, and not only that, the entire world today is benefiting from Hazrat. When there was time and need for the Makatib system to be established and move forward, Hazrat was in the forefront. When there was a need for the effort of Jamaat and Tabligh, people get connected to understand that we are Muslims, Hazrat was in the forefront. There was need for Hafiz classes, Hazrat was in the forefront. And teaching how young girls how to lead a life of parda, of haya and shame, Hazrat established us in the Makatibs. Then when there was a need for Darul Rooms, Hazrat established the great Darul Room of Darul Room Azadwal, where today students from throughout the world are benefiting. And where Hazrat students are not serving serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when there was the need of the reality of deen, that is the true essence of deen to come alive, Allah Ta'ala is using our great honorable Shaykh Hazrat Mu'ana Shah Abdul Hamid Sahib Maddazil Ali, who before this Hazrat had the great honor of being in the company of great, great Mashayikh. Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Mu'ana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Shaykh Awwal, Hazrat was very close to him also. Then after that, our great honorable Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who taught the world what is the love of Allah. Hazrat is a very special Khalifa of our Dada Shaykh, Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. In fact, Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali actually said that I hunted you. In other words, Hazrat is such a jewel and pearl that the Shaykh hunted him. And today we see people are gaining from this very, very special great nur and the fire of ball of love that is in the heart of the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned very beautifully, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَعْدَنٌ وَمَعْدَنُ التَّقْوَى قُلُوبُ الْعَارِفِينَ. For everything there is a mine. And my limited mind and all our minds, generally when we hear of a mine, we think of gold mines, platinum mines, diamond mines. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those are all perishable things. Those things don't really have value if you come to know the reality of it. Real mine is the mine of taqwa, where you will gain the love of Allah. And the love of Allah is the greatest gift a person can be blessed with. And we should be searching for the love of Allah. But Allah Ta'ala's kindness, Allah has brought that mind right to us. That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, where you get this love of Allah? وَمَعْدَنُ التَّقْوَى قُلُوبُ الْعَارِفِينَ. The mind of taqwa is the hearts of those who have recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, as we will hear from Hazrat's jewels that will be emanating, that what love of Allah is in the heart of Hazrat, we should sit with this open heart. That, oh Allah, you have brought us here, granted us this great opportunity, this golden opportunity, open our hearts also, and let that fire of love come into our heart also. Then inshallah we'll see the great benefit of sitting even 1 minute in the company of the friends of Allah. And we are so fortunate, Hazrat is here this whole weekend with us. Today Hazrat is here, tomorrow Hazrat will be after Fajr in Darul Salaam Masjid the whole day, and then from Asr till Isha, Islahi program, very, very important for myself and all of us. We are extremely fortunate. Let us value this occasion and take out maximum time to sit with the pious servant of Allah. Allah Ta'ala has brought him in our midst. Let us appreciate. Allah give us tawfiq. Jee, inshallah. Hazrat's family also, Hazrat Bibi Apa, also a great waliya of Allah. The ladies programs are also taking place, inshallah, tomorrow at 11? Half past 10 to half past 11. Sadiq Bulla's place. Yeah, at Sadiq Bai Bulla's place, and then 3 to 4. When Abdul Razak's place, let us all send our women folk, they'll benefit extremely, inshallah.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبه الدلقاع والأكم روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه الأفاف وفيه الجود والكرم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل حول من الأحوال مقتحم يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before we start our talk proper, as per the command of our honorable Sheikh Arif Billah Rumi of our time, and the mujaddid of this era, the second Tabriz, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahimullah, Hazrat says, before every bayan, make muzakara, discuss one sunnat of Hazrat Nabi Kareem, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The sunnats really are the life wire of this ummat. And the value of sunnats are so great. In one beautiful poem, which Allah in His kindness of our Shaykh has made famous in the whole world, is Naqsh-e Qadam Nabi ke hai sallallahu alaihi wasallam jannat ke raaste Allah jalla jalaluhu se milate hai sunnat ke raaste Naqsh-e Qadam Nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. What does this mean? Naqsh-e Qadam Nabi ke, the footsteps of our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That is following in his footsteps, practicing on the sunnats of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. This is the road to Jannat. Or Allah se milate hai, and to get connected with Allah Ta'ala. And that is the greatest connection. In fact, it is the only connection you need. And to get that also is the way of sunnat, and you will get connected with Allah Ta'ala. To understand this practically, yeah, from Lodium, from Aldo Grain, if a person wants to go to Johannesburg and he follows the board showing Johannesburg, he'll come out in Johannesburg. If he follows the boards showing Wetbank, he'll come out in Wetbank, whichever directions you follow. So any person who follows sunnats in his life, he will see he comes out in Jannat. But that is a long way. We'll have to live our whole life, life of the Qabr, the day of Qiyamah so long. Inshallah, Allah will give us all Jannat. But a person who follows sunnat, not only and Jannat, is credit. You have to wait so long for it. And Jannat is secondary. Primary is the Zaad, the being of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has made Jannat. Jannat is not on its own. And how beautiful Allah has made it, Allah can make it 200 times more beautiful. Allah has made this Jannat, Allah can make 200 other Jannats also. And so to get Allah, Jannat also, which we all desire, and we are commanded to ask for Jannat, work for Jannat, and may Allah grant us all. But more greater than Jannat is the being of Allah. And when you get Allah, is cash. Now you will get Allah. And Allah is the creator of Jannat. To understand this, if a person has got a soap factory, and he's making 10,000 cakes of soap a day. In the month, 300,000 cakes of soap. He's got a candle factory also. He's got a filling station also. He's got a block of flats also. He's got supermarkets also. Everything he's got. So compared to what his value is, what is the value of one cake of soap? He's owning so much. What is one cake of soap? Nothing in front of him. So like that, Jannat is great on its own. But compared to Allah, Jannat also is nothing. So when Jannat is nothing, what is this dunya? So much so, Jannat is so nothing in front of Allah, that when the people of Jannat will meet Allah, they won't only think that the namats of Jannat are nothing, Allah's namat, they will completely forget Jannat. Such the namats of seeing Allah and meeting Allah, the creator of Jannat, so what is his beauty? I usually say that if there is a girl whose name is Fatima, is somebody's mother, sister, auntie, you don't get much enjoyment in saying the word Fatima. But the day you get engaged to a girl whose name is Fatima, now it's completely different. You'll even go to Qari Sahib and tell him to teach you the proper makharij and pronunciation. That you can't say now Fatima or Fatima or Fatim or Fatima or anything Fatim, Fatlu, Fatli. You'll get cross in fact if somebody says her name like that. Now you'll pronounce it not only Fatima, but at night you won't be able to sleep. But what emotion and what enjoyment and release. Fatima, Fatima. You are madly in love. You're only still engaged to her. You're not even married to her. And there's also a different story. After 3 months of marriage, you'll fight like cats and dogs with poor Fatima. But at the moment you are madly in love with her. So when one Fatima swipes you off your feet, doesn't let you sleep at night, and you're just thinking about her, what is the condition of that creator who created millions of Fatimas, and millions of Khadijas, and millions of Aishas, and millions of beautiful waterfalls, and the rising of the sun over the mountains, and the setting of the sun over the seas? What is the beauty of Allah? And if you get Allah, you can just imagine the beauty of Allah, and the generosity and of Allah, the kindness of Allah, the forgiveness of Allah, that the people of Jannat, they will even forget Jannat exists when they will meet Allah Ta'ala. And Allah, this great being, we can find him with following sunnahs. Allah has declared, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Follow the sunnahs and Allah will love you. And when Allah will love you, what and what won't Allah do for you? So may Allah let us understand the value of sunnahs. I had in mind of speaking some other sunnahs today, but I became so happy when I saw straightening the safs. On this side also it is, yeah also it is, and there is also a very great sunnah of straightening the safs. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to walk in the safs to see that everyone is straight. And it comes in the hadith, somebody's back, he should rub it a bit, go a little bit front. Somebody's chest, he should rub, go a little bit back. And he took so much precaution that the saf must be straight. So much so it comes in the hadith, like today we go, for example, to the shooting range to perfect our target. And we try our best, our target must be perfect. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perfected the saf so straight, how we perfect a target when we want to shoot. So straight the safs must be. Today it's easy, with the musallas, the lines are there. And also, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't stand crooked in the safs. If you stand crooked, then your hearts will become crooked. You'll get divided in your hearts. And that is the biggest weakness of this ummah. We have divided ourselves. Today in families, brothers and sisters, children with parents, we can't see eye to eye. And this is, and the enemy has taken, we made the pieces of ourselves. The enemy is using this and making mints out of us. And that is our one of our greatest weaknesses, that we haven't got muhabbat. And where does that start? It doesn't. We think in the business we had a problem. Or we had a problem, somebody didn't invite me to their wedding. Or somebody didn't invite me to their function. No, the problem is here in the masjid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you don't stand straight in the safs, Allah will cause your hearts to have differences. And you will have differences, your hearts will become crooked. And that is the destruction of a family, of a community, of the ummah. The advantage the enemies are taking, not from now, right from the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but those were sahaba. The enemies tried very hard to wean over and cause division amongst the sahaba, but they failed. And we read those instances where they just wrote them off, that you don't even ever think how my Nabi treats me because of some reason. I'm just too happy. I can't tolerate one thorn pricking me. I can give my life, but I can't tolerate one thorn pricking my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Later on, this is the very thing where Shia started coming out. This is the thing they took advantage of. Our differences, they exploited it. And they made us worse after that. And this has been carrying on all along. Whether it was in Spain, where Muslims were ruling right up to Spain. And what a rule the Muslims have. The downfall of it was our differences. And for small, petty things, we can't forgive one another. We can't accommodate husband and wife having so much fights. Our hearts are torn apart with husband and wife. Right in the home, where can we expect then the community? And this starts when we don't stand straight in the safs. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared, when your safs are crooked, Allah will make your hearts crooked. You'll have differences. So, therefore, it's very important. And now many musallas, like this musalla has got many lines, if you see at the end. Now many people don't know, they want to stand on the right line, but the person this side is standing on a different line. The person this side is standing on a different line. We don't know which is the line we must choose. So the mutawallis of the masjid, the imams are, they must choose. And like here, mashallah, very beautiful, they have clarified it, which line you must stand on, and which line is straight. We should take notice, but the problem of notice is that nobody takes notice of the notices. We should take notice of these notices, and we should make our line straight. Also, one very important other point that we should learn. When we had the Mu'tamar, the convention in Azadville last year in January, it was in the honor of Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullah Ali, Qasimul Ulum Wal Khairat. The Mufti of Iraq also attended, and he pointed out that many of our Imams, copying the Imams of the Haram of Mecca. Before we start in Namaz, we say, Safu, 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 Fakum, Adalu, stand straight, make yourself straight, etc. He says that is not according to Sunnat. According to Sunnat is before the Iqamah, before the Takbir. And according to the Ahnaf, when the Mukabbir says, Qad Qamati Salah, Qad Qamati Salah, it's permissible from there for the Imam to start Namaz already. In other words, this shows that after the Iqamah, there shouldn't be any delay in starting the Namaz. So before the Iqamah, the Imam should announce, the Muazzin could announce that straighten your safs. And the Imam, the actual Sunnah is, he should walk in the safs to see that the safs are straight. Hey, some of us might remember, my brother-in-law, Maulana Qasim Zubair Ali, he should come with a sword and he should walk with his sword in the safs to make the saf straight. That is the actual sunnah. So when Iqamah is said, immediately after Iqamah, there shouldn't be a delay. I'll just extend a little bit more also. An unbecoming thing which is also becoming common is that especially Jummah, when the Imam Sahib gets on the minbar, and after that Namaz is starting, then the mic, the Muazzin is putting it this way, up, down, whereas at that time, it comes in the Hadith, if somebody is talking, to tell him keep quiet, to make a sign to him keep quiet, like this, then you have done wrong. In other words, full attention should be given to the imam now. So at that time, all this playing around with the mic, putting it higher up, putting it a bit lower, adjusting it like this, that should not be done. And today, alhamdulillah, Allah has given us plenty. We have one mic for the imam. And another mic for the musalla, one for the mimbar, one for the musalla. So there is no need for all the adjustment. And the mic can be adjusted before time. Hey, nobody is so short or so tall. Average, you can put it. And just a little bit, the imam himself, he is permitted, the imam. If there is a need for anything to be done, he can speak. But other people shouldn't speak. So then he can just adjust the mic a little bit. And another mic for the musalla, so easy. And if you have the, what do you call this mic? This mic here, that is the easiest. So anyway, that we should try and straighten ourselves. That's a very, very important thing. May Allah give us tawfiq. And by the barakat of that, if we get united, we know, we always say also, the enemy, they are, what are they doing with us? Divide and rule. That is what they are doing. And divide and rule, we causing it when we're not standing straight in the masjid. And also, big communities, small communities, wherever you go, people say too much politics in our town. Everyone pulling in a different direction. Nobody agrees on anything. Everyone is authority of his own. All that problems in the town doesn't start from outside. It starts from in the masjid. When we don't make ourselves straight, those who are supposed to be the musallis, they are the leaders, they are the ambassadors, they are representing the whole community in front of Allah. And when the ambassadors are crooked, then the community must be crooked also. So we should try and follow this. And mashallah, Maulana Abdul Rahman or whoever did this, Allah reward them tremendously. For and always try. And also I will implore the other musallis of other masjids and the imams and the mutawallis, try and do this in every masjid. Have this so that they can see. And then try also if we can do more. Only one place I have seen in my life where they straighten the surfs is Raiwin Markaz. The Tablighi Markaz in Raiwin, I don't know now, but those days when we should go, the imam used to walk in the surfs. We tried it out in the Darul Uloom, we appointed brothers, but it lasts for a little while, it dies out again. That you can just have two, three people this side, two, three people, and they walk in the surfs to see the straight, so surfs are straight. There is a very, very important point. And it's not sufficient, like in the Haram of Makkah, the Haram of Medina, the imam says, Safu, Sufu, Fakum. But we know how crooked those surfs are. Hey, that some places the surf comes, and then there's a fork, two surfs come out from there. And so this, to make the surfs, and also remember, once you make from the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, learn this point. If you make the first two, three surfs straight, all the other surfs will be straight. If the first surf is crooked, especially janaza time, when there aren't surfs, there aren't musallas, you just make the first surf straight, the other surfs will come straight. And if the first surf is crooked, sometimes what a bend that surf takes also. Hey? And then if the first surf is crooked, all the other surfs are going to be crooked as well. May Allah give us tawfiq to make amal on every sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The ayat I read, the surah, one of the shortest surahs of the Quran Sharif, Wal Asr. And Wal Asr is time, and time doesn't get finished. So perhaps the bayan also won't get finished. Time just carries on. And it's time the surah, so that we will just carry on and on. It won't be like that. One person once came, never used to make namaz, but it came that we go for namaz today. Maybe he had some problem, income tax man, or some other problem he had, so let me go for namaz now. So when he went, and the imam was reading Surah Baqarah. And Surah Baqarah is about 2.5 suparas. So how long it took? So he said, he thought, next time if I go masjid, I must first find out which surah the imam is reading to stand for 2.5 suparas. It's quite a job. So the next time, after some time again, he had a problem, whatever, he decided to go. He said, ask the people, which surah is the imam reading? So he said, he's reading Surah Fil. And Surah Fil is an elephant. Say when the ox was so long, Then the elephant is so big, how long won't that be? Whereas Surah Fil is Alam tara kaifa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. Such a short surah. So just like that, somebody might think, Manana read the surah wal asr, and he's going to talk on time, and time doesn't get finished. The bayan also won't get finished. Don't worry, inshallah, on time we will finish the bayan. And the time is what I decide. Whatever time I decide, on time it will finish. You won't go 1 minute late also, inshallah. So anyway, so Allah has taken qasam of time. And there are two tafsirs of this. One is time, and from there, that how valuable time is. So today we don't think of time as a ni'mat also. And also, think of time that Allah created time. Time is not on its own. Nothing is on its own besides Allah. Yeah. Allah is Khuda as Khud. Just on His own He is. There's no beginning. Nobody gave birth to Allah. Nobody brought Allah in existence. There's no end to Allah. And Allah will be forever and ever besides Allah. Whatever there is, Allah created it. Time, we don't think time is a great ni'mat. Just time itself. That now we got time to sit here, to listen to a bayan. You go home, you got time to do some work. Well, whatever we do, we are doing it in time. We are born in time. We die in time. Big, big historical events take place in time. Time, but we never think of time. And we never think that what a khalaq-e azim. Khalaq-e Alim, what a great creator, what a knowledgeable creator is, that Allah created something like in time. If there wasn't time, where should we get born? There was no, time is abstract, it's difficult to understand. But please, put a little pressure on your mind, and think what a great ni'mat this time is. If there wasn't time, where should we be born? How could we say I was born on so and so date? There, nothing, what should we do? And then, just to make it short, the measurement of time is another great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Like now, we say Isha Namaz 7:45, if there was no measurement of time, we didn't have watches. And don't think we made watches. All is from Allah Ta'ala's side. If there was no measurement of time, how could we all gather by 7:15 Adhan, 7:45 Namaz? How should we know? You give somebody a loan for 1 month, and after a month you ask him, pay up that loan. How should we be able? There's no month. How should we calculate anything, the days of the week, the hours of the day? All this is a ni'mat from Allah Ta'ala. Inna iddata shuhur inda Allah 12 shahran fi kitabillah yawma khalaqa as-samawati wal ard. Allah made the time, the 12 months, and all the rest of time. And when Allah created the heavens and the earth, Allah created time at that time, and the measurement of time as well. So that is also a great ni'mat. Also, a person who appreciates and values time, then that person will come out illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Otherwise, a person who does not value time, innal insana lafi khusr. Man is in a total loss, a person who doesn't value time. Time is very valuable. And also from this understand, when we give an appointment to somebody, then meet that appointment. Don't make other of that person. We sometimes are very negligent. We tell, we say Indian time and we make a joke out of it. It is very, very un-Islamic and very wrong that we tell somebody that, for example, Walima after Zohar. After Zohar, then we take so long together. Then the days haven't come, and then somebody starts with qiraat and bayan. You didn't call people for qiraat and bayan. You called them for walima. The person thought, I'll come half an hour, I'll eat and I'll go. He's got other things to do. Give time and give it properly. You give anybody an appointment in our business, everything, whatever, I'll deliver your car so and so time. Deliver it on that time. Go out of your way, but meet your commitments. The time you have given time is a very, very valuable thing. And the other tafsir of asr is namaz time. And that is, the day is coming to an end now. In Afrikaans we say, the son trek water. Now the sun is going down. And that means that time is very short now, very valuable. So this is also that value the time which is going now. The time is already getting finished. Just now sunset is coming. Asr is the time after that. especially Hanafis who make a bit later Asr namaz. After that there is hardly any time. Like today Asr, quarter to five, quarter to six Maghrib, 6 o'clock. So little time, by the time you finish your Asr namaz, time is gone already. So in other words, value this time. Time is like that last moments which are gone. You got very little to understand that. You are traveling by plane. You pray, you worked out your whole itinerary properly. I'll leave this time home. I'll be there by the airport so much, so longer before time. On the way there was an accident. Even not yours, somebody else's. 1 hour delay on the road. The roads are just blocked. The cars are stand still. A major accident. You meet up with a puncture or something else, and now your car is not functioning. You got late. Anyway, you just managed to check in. Now to reach the gate in order to board the plane, and they say 20 minutes before time, whatever, you must be there. Otherwise, they close the gates. And to reach the gate, it takes you, say, they got a board, 7 minutes to reach gate number 25, whatever it is. And you got your 4 or 5 children, your wife, on the way now, and it's 7 minutes to reach, and you only got 5 minutes. Mm. So what you are doing, you are running now, and you are pulling your children. The children see a PlayStation on the way, and now they say they want to go and play. You are short of 2 minutes, you are running. And then your wife tells you, what's wrong with you? What's wrong if the children play a little bit? At that time to play, now it's Asr time. Sun is going down, there's no more time for sports to go and play PlayStation, to go and play soccer, to go and play cricket. Your moth is imminent. Any time your moth is going to come. And now you say, what's wrong if you play some sports? Well, you're nafsika alayka haq. That your nafs also got a right on you. What's wrong if you listen little music and take enjoyment? Your time, you're short of time. You haven't got time. And there we all can understand. We'll tell the wife, you'll make her keep quiet. You'll pull the children. We must get there on time just so that we can board the plane. And nowadays they're so strict. 1 minute you are late, they deny you boarding. And then your whole program in front will also get upset. So therefore, it's very, very important that we appreciate time. Every morning when we wake up, the day, like today, the day that has passed was the 20th of Jamadul Ukhra, the 10th of September, of April. The day announces, I've only come this one day in your life. I'll never return in your life again. Whatever good you can do, do it today. And don't waste time. I'll never come back. You won't have me again a second time in your life. 10th of April will never come back in our lives. 215. It has come one day in our life. It will never come back. And we all know how many things we did on that particular occasion. It changed our lives. Hey, whether it was our education, whether it was our business, whether it is our deen, we made connection. Our brother Yusuf here. From where, Yusuf? Mali. He told me now while we are eating, he said the greatest thing that could have happened in my life is when I made contact with you. So anyone who knows, contact with our buzurgs and our akabir, it changed our lives. That day, that moment, you made the right decision, it changed your life. So time is so valuable, and time is just going like water. Time and tide waits for no man. You don't realize it, but time is just going. What a beautiful example our buzurgs gave of time. Time is like a block of ice. A block of ice, you put it in the water, it will make the water cold. You will enjoy that water. But you leave it just like that, it's going rafta rafta, dum badum badum, chupke chupke. That block of ice is melting, melting. You don't see it melting. But before you know, it doesn't exist, it's gone. And nobody benefited anything from it, it just melted like that. That same block of ice, you put it in your water, you put it in your juice, it made it cold. How you enjoy it. With every drop or with every sip you take, mashallah, alhamdulillah. This I'm just saying, but most of us don't even say mashallah. And no, alhamdulillah, we don't read bismillah also. And after having a wonderful ni'mat, in fact, one of the reasons why we don't get tawfiq, the ability to practice upon what we know and what we hear and what we learn, is we are so engrossed in enjoying the ni'mats of Allah that we don't get no time to make shukr to Allah. A person who learns to make shukr and Allah's ni'mats, you can't make shukr. There are so many ni'mats, you can't even imagine and think of the ni'mats of Allah. As we are sitting, and you tell somebody, like a teacher in the class will tell the students, write down all Allah's ni'mats. Somebody might write 5, somebody might write 50, somebody might write 500. But all together, the whole world, we cannot even imagine all the ni'mats of Allah, which are beyond our intelligence, beyond our scope, beyond our thinking. And they are actively working for us, those ni'mats. But we don't make no shukr to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So time is a very, very valuable thing. If we can bring this into us too, and make shukr to Allah for the time He has given us. We are now 30 years old, 40 years old. 60, 70, whatever it is, who gave us this 50, 60? We, how many we know, younger people than us have left this world. They have gone. How many people in their 30s have gone? How many in their 20s are gone? How many young people are gone? Hey, that we still got time, but whom of us make shukr till today? If I'm 50 years old, for 50 years multiplied by 12 months, by 30 days, by 24 hours, by 60 minutes, by 60 seconds, what a huge amount of, and this is the capital Allah gave us. And anyone, if your father, anyone gives you a huge capital, go start your business. And you don't appreciate, that money is here depreciating. Every moment, he gave you 5 million rand, if you don't put it into operation, that money, the value is decreasing. Tomorrow its value is not 5 million. And after 1 year its value is not 5 million. This is monetary, physical things. Time, and Allah has given everyone the capital of time. You're going to live in the dunya for 50 years. You're going to live 60 years. You're going to live 70 years. That Allah gave us that ni'mat, that capital of time. And with this capital of time, if you use it correctly, as we will try to explain, then you will gain your jannat, and it won't, your 5 million, you use it right. Your father left, you gave you 5 million rand. Go, start your business and set yourself up. And you really used it right. Then you made it 50 million. You made it 500 million. But there is a limit to it. You can't go more than that. And finally, you're going to leave it behind. You'll go in your qabr completely empty-handed. Whereas time which Allah has given us, if we use it correctly, you'll get everlasting jannat. And everlasting ni'mats of jannat, the hurul ain of jannat, the palaces of jannat, the food of jannat, jannatin tajri min tahtiha al-anhar, the beautiful flowing waters of jannat, and what and forever and ever if you learn to use your time. And today procrastination has become a common disease with almost every, how many people write that I'm very lazy, very lethargic, and very I procrastinate, I don't do the things on time. For that also we need to be trained. And for to be trained, you need a trainer. Where shaitan gives us a deception, I can train myself. I don't need a sheikh. I don't need a guide. Many, many mashayikh, by them, what is islah? Islah is this, you become disciplined. Discipline in your time. Discipline in all your matters. If your keys are in your right pocket, they must be always in your right pocket. Not that you fumble and fiddle and look for it here and look for it there. Where you put it, it must be there. If there is a light outage, power outage, you must know exactly where is this key and where is that key in the house. You mustn't fumble and fiddle and wonder. You must know exactly where your emergency lamps are kept. You must know how to operate them. That is discipline. We have to discipline ourselves. From morning to night, our children must be disciplined. But we have, for our children, we discipline. Many places where we go, we see in the bedroom, the bathroom, that my beloved children, remember always to put your clothing in the washing basket, to close the tap properly, and all whole lot of other instructions. And at the end, and remember, mummy loves you. Hey, all that we put. But we ourselves, our clothes, we are not yet disciplined to put it in the washing basket. We take it and we just threw it on the floor. Hey, like somebody said, looks like we need a PhD to learn how to take off our clothes and put it in the washing basket. The right place, our wife is not a maid. She's not there to work for us, that we just take off our clothes, throw it anywhere, leave the bathroom in a terrible mess, We brushed our teeth, we cleaned our nose, we took out all the phlegm from the throat, and we leave the basin in a mess, we leave the bathroom in a mess, and the poor wife must see to it. No, that is not correct. We are responsible ourselves. And just imagine, when you get a dirty bathroom, how do you feel? If you just no dirty, just water is, the splashes are lying around, the towel is wet, you feel upset about the thing. You can't accept it. So why leave it for somebody else like that? Whether it's your own house also, you the husband, you the head of the family, not to spread dirt in the house, and not to teach that you are undisciplined in the house. No, that you teaching everyone discipline and you yourself undisciplined. And a person who is disciplined, lot of barakat in his life. Our great buzurgs, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi, Maulana Thanwi rahmatullahi, if we study their lives and see their works, we get shocked that in that same lifespan that we had, the same 24 hours a day, the same time, but what great work they did. Because they were disciplined. And that is why they achieve so much. And we are not disciplined. We also have, today we have got so much resources. If we just think a little bit, many of us will know that time when there weren't any electric stoves, the coal stoves. You had to go and get the coal from outside. The wood you had to get, chop it up, and then light the fire. Sometimes it lights, sometimes it doesn't light. It was a problem. No geysers like today. The stove gets on, then it warms the water, heats the water in the geyser. And at that time, if visitors come, you don't just open the deep freeze, take out something, put it in the micro, and it's ready. You had to go and catch the fowl. You had to slaughter it, and then you had to clean it, and then you had to cook it. People used to stay over the night also. Houses were small, but we could host guests also. And the whole house used to be full with visitors. All these things used to happen. Our earning was small. Houses were small, but there was so much muhabbat, so much barakat. Now we got big, big houses. The stove, you just turn a knob and it's on. And you just take out from the deep freeze and you got everything ready. But now there is no muhabbat. There's so much so that brother and brother can't agree. Families can't agree. Immediate families also. Otherwise, that was the time when people came to the masjid, total strangers. Oh, here's a stranger here. Come home and have meals before you go. And they used to fight with the visitors. You have to have meals. You can't go without eating. But today when we come, then the ayat of the Quran, it says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Say to the believers, keep your gazes down. We apply it here in the masjid. Hey, that now I mustn't see the visitor. Hey, that applies on the road. There our eyes go so big when we see the woman. And even our mouth goes big and open. We see that woman, how she is dressed and that. There the ayat refers to there, not here in the masjid. There keep your gazes down. But we say that Allah said in the Quran, you mustn't look around when we come, because I'll see a visitor and I'll have, or my friend or my haji bhai is here, and then I'll have to take him home. So I must just keep my gazes down. I saw him, but I act as if I didn't see him. And I just go. So this was that time. Time, the people used to appreciate time. There was barakat in that time. Today, commonly, everyone's complained, no barakat in time. Hey, there is no barakat. Money, there is no barakat. That time, many of us must be remembering, only the head of the family, the father used to, had a small shop. In front was the shop, at the back was the house. And the family, three meals together, they should sit and eat. And everyone, all expenses were coming out. Everyone lived happily. Today, the husband is earning, wife is earning, daughter is earning, son is earning. Money is short. No barakat. Because we haven't applied ourselves according to those people. In fact, Maulana Mazhar Sahib say, it wasn't long when salam was common in our people. You enter the house, salam. You sit in the car, salam. You go to the shop, everywhere, salam. And salamati means peace. And peace from Allah. So they didn't have illnesses. They didn't have sicknesses. They didn't have financial problems. They didn't have domestic problems. Because there was peace. Today no salam. Big houses. But the hearts are torn apart. Eh? And in fact, Those days beds were small also. And husband and wife should cozy up and sleep very tight with one another. Now big king size bed. Husband is in one corner, wife is in another corner. And she's in her world and the poor husband is in his world. The children, everyone in his own room. Those days the whole family together. And how lot of muhabbat and discipline they taught. So barakat in time will come when we appreciate time. See the qudrat of Allah, make shukr. And for that Allah has explained. So Allah Ta'ala first says, those who don't value time, who don't understand the great qudrat and power of Allah in time, that wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr. Generally, whole of mankind is in loss. And why is this loss? Because we don't appreciate time. Why is this loss? We don't recognize Allah who gave us this time. And we just enjoying this ni'mat, we're not appreciating it. And time, we just running like, flowing like water from our hand. And we don't appreciate it. And we don't, so those people are in a loss. Now how to come out of that loss? In order to appreciate time, Allah Ta'ala says the first thing, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, bring iman. Believe in Allah, that He is the Creator. He created time. He gave you time of 50 years. He gave you this time to come to the masjid. How many of us are here in the masjid? But our minds are somewhere else. We are thinking of something else. We are looking on the ground. And somebody thinks this person is really meditating. But he is planning already for tomorrow and for next week. All his plans. One time in Asr Namaz, there was difference of opinion. Somebody said Imam only made 3 rakats. Somebody said 4 rakats. Different everyone. So they couldn't come to a correct decision. So one man who didn't look pious also, like a dunyadar person or person of dunya, with complete conviction, he said, Maulana only made 3 rakats, not 4. They were surprised. How is he? He's not like a person who's a pious person, like a person with topi, beard or anything like that. Just like an ordinary person. They ask him, how can you be so sure? He says, I got 4 shops. And every rakat, I take my hisab, my account of every shop. What was my income today? What was my expenditure, etc. And today I only finished 3 shops. So I knew 100% Maulana didn't make the 4th rakat. Because he only made 3. I only made hisab of 3 shops. So we are here in namaz also. But we don't appreciate that time also. We are listening to bayan. We are reading Quran Sharif. And our thoughts are in the whole world. We are busy making zikr. And our thoughts are in the whole world. Appreciate this time. Especially the time that Allah gave us for His deen. When we come to the masjid. When we go. When we making tilawat. If we go in jamaat, don't waste our time. Sleeping. Many people, jamaat means the time now to cover up on your sleep. Or we go for umrah. Umrah means to cover up on sleep there. That we just go there. Nobody knows whether you went for namaz or anything. You see, how many people just sleep it out all the time? If you go in for umrah and your namazes you're not making. You're not making them with jamaat. What? You went to Mecca and Medina or you went to Paris or London? Where did you go? And for shopping at night after Isha? Then you see everyone is wide awake. And the shopping malls are full then. Everyone is busy shopping. The eat places are full. The shopping places are full. But for Fajr, then we are fast asleep. No, appreciate. So first thing, this إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. To make it easy for us, I'll give one example to see that how our iman must be on what Allah has told us about the life of the year after, etc. All of us are acquainted with fishing. Some of us love fishing. Some of us don't go, but we know what fishing is. So anyway, a person goes fishing. And he's gone with his 4 or 5 friends. They 5 or 6 friends. They went fishing for the whole weekend. And they take worms. And here is another very important masala also. We take the live worms and we put it into the hook. This is not permissible at all. Imagine if somebody have to take you or take your son or your daughter and put a hook through your child. How will you bear it? That's a living creation of Allah Ta'ala. It's not choice to do that. And to go fishing just for a sport is also not permissible. To take the lives of those fishes, yes, if you're going to eat them, you're going to give them to friends to eat, or it's your business, you earn your fishing and then you go and sell the fish, then by all means it's permissible. But just as a sport to take life of that of those fishes is not permissible. So anyway, they put now you put the the worm on, there's an example I'm giving, onto the hook, and then you cast your line into the water, and you look for nice fat juicy worms, not thin little dry worms. You look for nice juicy worms when you throw them in. Now when you threw it in, one little fish, a small fish, it saw today, ni'mat-e ghair mutaraqaba. A ni'mat which I didn't think about has come right to me. I didn't have to go and look for my rosy. A nice, thick, juicy worm, right by me it has come. Now the small fish wants to go and eat it, enjoy it. But the old fish, and the old mollisap type fish, the old fashioned people, and the conservative type of people, they tell that young modern fish that, don't you ever go near that worm. He says, why? He says, you don't know there is a hook in it, you will get caught. And the small fish thinks that the sour grapes, the old lady is gone, so old man, where they know what is enjoyment of nightclubs, and what is enjoyment of the nightlife and the out life, and all the sports and all the music and entertainment. They can't enjoy it, so they're stopping us also. They say, no, it's not like that. We know that it's not just a worm. That worm, inside it there is a hook. And at the end of the hook there is a sharp point. And when you will eat, you will get caught on it. And when you will get caught, that hook is fastened with a line. And it's going right out of the water. And there is a man who is 1.5-2 meters tall. And he's got a 2-meter rod. And he's holding it and he can feel the bite. He's waiting and to feel the bite. And the minute he feels the bite, he gives it a little jerk and he hooks you on there. And then he will let you play in the water for a while. And when he wants to now, he will reel you out and take you out of the water. He has come for the weekend with his cats and dogs also. And they have come with their frying pan. And they have come with their oil. And they have come with, they're going to make a fire there out with wood or a gas stove, whatever. When they pull you out, then they will take you out from the hook and you will be in their hands. With their knives, they will gouge out your eyes also. They will cut you and take the insides of you out. Your ferns and that, your tail, they will cut it. They will throw it to the dogs and to the cats and they will eat it. And then these are Indian fishermen. They came with their strong masalas also. And they will put that masala on you, marinate you properly. Then they will light that fire, whether it's a firewood they'll use or the gas stove. They'll put their frying pan and they'll put oil. And when that oil is sizzling hot, 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 they will make pieces of you and put you in there. And after that, each one of them have got 10 fingers. And there are 5 of them, between 50 fingers they will make pieces out of you. Each one has got 32 teeth, 160 teeth. They will crunch you and they will mince you. And they will bite you. And then you will go through the small intestine and the big intestine. And my darling little fish, where are you going to come out from? I can't even tell you that. From what a terrible place you're going to come out, and with what smells you're going to come. And with what sounds your announcement will be made that you are leaving now. The poor fish is worried now that all this is going to happen to me. So it's frightened now, but he's a new modern fish, goes university. Doesn't listen to the old people, old conservative people. These are now educated people. And they do everything by experiment and they want scientific proof for everything. So the small fish say, I will first do my experiment and my research now. I will Google up everything and see what comes up on Google. And I will research everything. So that fish is now researching in the water. All this is happening out of the water. But its research, first thing it is doing wrong, researching it where it isn't. Where it is, it can't go there. So it says it isn't. The second thing it says, everyone, al-mar'u yaqisu ala nafsihi, everyone draws a conclusion according to his mind. The fish say there is only life in the water. You say all this is happening out of the water, there is no life. They know, a fish knows, if I go out of water, I die. So according to its own thinking, it says there is no life out of the water. And here in the water, nothing. And then it does a practical research also. Swims around the whole area. No fire, no cats, no dogs, no fishing line, no fisherman, no fishing rod, no stove, no masalas, no nothing. Oh, everything what you are saying is bull. You're telling me a whole lot of hogwash. All you just spoiling my mind. I've got this wonderful. So he takes a small bite. Nothing happens. It says, you see, nothing happened. He takes another bite and now it's got hooked on. Now 100% we all know everything what was told is going to happen. Just like that, wallah, my dear brothers, whatever our Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam told us and what Quran Sharif told us, what is going to happen in the Qabr, what is going to happen on the day of Qiyamah. Now we think, how can there be so big giants and monsters? How can there be such a big fire? How can there be all these things? But 100% this is going to play out. There will be absolutely no doubt. Jaise karni waise bharni. As you do, you will get. Na maane to karke dek. If you don't believe, do your wrong actions. How many people, we are fortunately or unfortunately in that position where how many people confide in us, tell us the inner condition, and people are suffering because of the wrong that we do. We spoiled our youth. We spoiled when we got married. Our treatment of our wife was bad. And now the repercussion comes. But by Allah, you will never be a write-off. Hey Allah, your insurance company, I'm not telling masalas whether it's jais or nais, I'm giving an example. Your panel beater, can you write you off that you're a write-off, your car is a write-off. Doctors can say, take your patient home. By Allah, you can be the worst and worst, but you can never be a write-off by Allah. You just turn to Allah, make tawbah sincerely. Ask Allah for His help. No matter, a person who killed 99 people goes to Jannah when he turns to Allah Ta'ala. So there are many people who have destroyed themselves, but there is no hope. You can be the worst drug addict. You can be the worst humanizer. You can be the worst porn addict. You can be addict of anything, but you just make your connection with the man of Allah and turn your attention, Allah will pull you out. Allah Ta'ala says, يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Allah takes them out from many types of darkness, many types of guna, into the one nur of Allah Ta'ala. And for that, Allah sent the man of Allah. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا أَنْ أَخْرِجْ أَنْ أَخْرِجْ أَنْ An akhrij qawmaka min az-zulumati ila an-nur. The man of Allah, Allah uses them in this dunya. Allah doesn't come personally himself and does it. He uses after the anbiya, Allah uses the awliya. Make your connection with them and see, no matter what worst things you could have done in your life, Allah will choose you and become right again. So just like that fish understood its lesson, let us also not wait for the time that we see it. Make tawbah before that time and go and see the ni'mats of Allah. In the time of maut, in the qabr, enjoy the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. Another one example which could help us, inshallah, if a train is at a railway station, Johannesburg station, it's going to Cape Town. And the train is stationed. It's going to leave at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, whatever the time might be. And the train has come on the platform by 1 o'clock, passengers are getting on. Under the train, right in front by the engine, a dog is sleeping, fast asleep. The dog or the train also is dead still, not moving at all. The time for the train to move now, the dog wakes up. And it starts walking a bit groggy, just got up from its sleep. And the whole big train also starts moving slowly at the beginning. The dog thinks, while I was sleeping, the whole train also was standing still. When I started moving, the train started moving. So I've got the power to make the train move. Now the train, the dog, after a little while, he was groggy and I became fresh. He starts running. The train also picks up speed. Now the dog is completely convinced that I'm making this whole train with so many passengers, so much goods, how many bogies on the coaches of the train, I'm making this whole train move. But how long is the dog going to run? Hardly half a kilometer, less than that. It will start panting, its tongue will come out. It will sleep on one side or even get killed by the train. And the train will go and do its 1500 kilometers to Cape Town. So just like that, we think we are the doers of things. That I open the shop, I'm feeding my family. I'm working, I'm earning. Hey, when we die, and then what? Doesn't the shop carry on? Allah chooses somebody else. Doesn't the family live after that? Do they die or the family dead? No. They carry on. They take 50 years ago. There are people who are living of that age here. Yeah, around There was no Elder Rain 50 years ago. Hey, there was nothing. All these roads that we have now, there was nothing. There were corrugated roads at that time. You go to Cape Town, how were the roads? You went to Durban, what were the roads like? And those people who were working on the roads department of that time, they also thought if we don't go and fix up the roads and we don't see the corrugated roads also they had to fix up. If we don't see it, how will the people travel? All those people are dead in their graves and today they are highways and super highways. And our forefathers, our fathers, or at the most the grandfathers, they were running a little shop and the house at the back. And the kitchen dresser was a blue bar soap box. That was the kitchen dresser. Their bed was some soap boxes they put and they slept on that. And they also thought if we don't earn, we don't open the shop, what will happen? They are gone to their qabr and their children are doing multi-million rand businesses. Import, export, trade. What houses they have built. So don't think that we are the doers of things. We are nothing. We are not even pawns on the show. We are absolutely nothing. The doer is only Allah. And dunya is carrying on all the time. We will die, we will go in our qabr. So don't let us have dog brains like that little dog and think we are doing everything. We will get finished. Don't think now the wife is going to die, I'm not earning for her. My small children, how many times it happens? Husband and wife together die. And the mother died in childbirth. Hey, at that time the child that was born and we think now what will happen? Who will look after this child? And look at Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. Before he was born, his father had passed away. He was around about 6, his mother passed away. He was 8, his grandfather passed away. Another few years, his uncle passed away. But Allah made him. Not he wasn't an orphan, he was Durre Yateem. He was a pearl and diamond of the orphans. And where Allah made him shine and his ummah till today. He didn't have any male issue that lived afterwards. They all passed away small, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's male children. But his ummah, Allah made it in the whole world. And this is causing headaches to the poor enemies. They just can't understand how this Islam is spreading. Right in our backyard it's spreading. In their people, and Muslims are becoming strong. And Islam is spreading in the world. What was this? This is all the Qudrat of Allah. It's not me. It's not me that I'm running my Darul Uloom or I'm running Tabligh Jamaat. If I'm not there, what will happen to the Jamaat? What will happen to the Darul Uloom? Allah is the one who does everything. So this Iman, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. This Iman is absolutely essential. And for that, it's not a matter of 1 hour's talk. We have to apply ourselves thoroughly. And the first thing, this will be asked in the qabr, Mar Rabbuka. Did you, Allah send you in this world? Before we came, Allah said, Alastu bi Rabbikum, am I not your Rabb? And when we will go in the qabr, the first question, Mar Rabbuka. Did you learn your lesson? Allah send us in this world, not to build big mansions, not to have big motor cars. Allah didn't send us for that. He sent us here to learn who our Rabb is. And if we didn't learn this lesson in the qabr, it will be a very, very sad case. Just to say, La ilaha illallah is not enough. Many of us, well, I read the kalima. MashaAllah, that's very good, no doubt. But we have to bring the reality of Iman. Just the words. For example, you say atom bomb. Just the word atom bomb and you read in, you Google, atom bomb can kill 5 million people. Atom bomb can do this. A nitrogen bomb can do this. The word can't do anything. The reality of atom bomb. If you think that atom bomb, like many people, they read lot wazifas. And you read 500 times atom bomb, atom bomb, atom bomb. Not even a fly will die. You got a problem with your ants troubling you, not one ant will die also. And just by the words, nothing is going to happen. In deen, even the words are valuable. But the reality will come with the reality. Have the reality of La ilaha illallah. Not just the words of it. So in dunya, the words have got no value. This atom bomb is not going to. How many of our houses, we go in the little children's rooms, big Ferrari is on the wall. That picture of a Ferrari is nothing. Or big BMW is there. That picture is nothing. The reality is something else. But very sadly, I'll just digress a little bit. We are so fooled. Though we think ourselves very educated and learned. One of the reasons why photography is haram. that today it has been scientifically proven. Many people, married people, got their wives, but they satisfy themselves with porn, with just a picture. It's just a picture, it's nothing, it's no reality. But what enjoyment they take from there. Like that, the photos of buzurgs will lead you to idol worship. You will make them gods. Therefore, in Islam, from the very root, all these things are cut out. So photography of animate objects has been made totally haram. Yes, if you have to take for passport and that, it's not jais also, but Allah will forgive you. You are helpless, you couldn't help it. But photography is totally haram. So like from porn today, people satisfy themselves. Completely they satisfy themselves. And they take so much release and enjoyment in porn. And many of us perhaps will be surprised. Good people are involved and addicted to it. They just can't, they are running up their bills, their credit cards, they can't manage to pay their accounts also. All because they are downloading this filth and dirt on the internet. So these are things that a person, the reality has to come. So this porn, which is just how many people watching films? And everyone know a film is just a lie, a big whole big lie. But they take so much of effect from that film, that this person should have done like this, and he should have done like this, and it's a big lie. They're just entertaining you, but we're getting amused with the lie. We are taking one film, you finish at night, 12 o'clock, another film, 2 o'clock, you can't get up for Fajr also. Porn you are watching all the time, all this filth and dirt, and today this has become so common, so sadly, and these are all the forerunners of Dajjal. When Dajjal will come, what will happen? If we can't save ourselves from the sports now, we can't save ourselves from porn now, we can't save ourselves from these filthy, dirty, lie films, then what will happen when actually Dajjal will come? So it's very, very necessary. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, we make our iman. وَإِلَّا آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And how much of iman is inside, the effect of it will be on our a'mal. That we will be regular with our namazes, and our namazes will have life in them. Not that we are making namaz and we taking account of our shops in our namaz. Not that we are making namaz and 1 minute we in this part of the world, next minute, but that we must be connected with Allah. One of the words from which salat, the Arabic word salah, comes is sila. And sila is a conjunction, joining word. So namaz is that we must join with Allah Ta'ala. How many of us join with Allah Ta'ala? Not in sajda we join with Allah. Not in the beautiful qiraat of the imams we join with Allah Ta'ala. What kind? So in namaz or amal is saliha. And in order to get that, we tawasaw bil haq. Tawasaw is from both sides, that we all the time advise one another with good. Today when we meet, we will commonly ask, how are you, how's the family, how's the weather? The weather is the same for everyone. But yet we have to ask, how's the weather? Hey, we go to the Qabristan, somebody has passed away, a dear person. And there also sports we are discussing, politics we are discussing. We're not taking lesson of the person who has passed away while we are in the Qabristan also. So the way of the Sahaba, when they used to ask, كَيْفَ حَالُكُمْ, they should mean, how is your religious life? Are your namazes in order? Is your tilawat in order? So we should ask one another that. Ask him, how are you keeping well, mashallah, everything all right? Your deen, your namazes, you performing them. Your tilawat, you making it. If we do this, then deen will come alive. And don't take offense. Ask one another. These are the things to be asked and encouraged of one another. That how is it? How's your deen in your house? Is namaz carrying on in your house? Is deen alive in you? Is deen alive in your house? And for that, when you want to do it, if you go and ask your wife today, she will wonder from where you came, from which asman you fell down. He's asking me whether I made to namaz today. She'll ask, did you make namaz? From where are you coming? You came from the masjid or you coming from somewhere else? So for that, we will have to make sabr also. And lot of we will have to tolerate. Then only if you learn to make the sabr. And all this to make sabr today, we can't. Argument with the wife, argument with the children, argument with friends at work, neighbors, anyone. I must have the last word. Somehow or the other, I must say the last word. I can't, nobody must overpower me. I must have the last word. even at night, husband and wife arguing, they're falling asleep, but you half asleep, but you have to tell her something, so that you had the last word. And she also can't keep quiet. She also has to have the last word. We can't make sabr on these small things. We have to learn to make sabr. And sabr also, all the matters of deen, we cannot learn it by ourselves. We can't Google it. We can't learn it on the internet. We will have to go by somebody who has got sabr. Stay with that person, it will come into us. When we'll do that, then the next step, that we encourage one another to do right. Then our iman will be made. Our deen will be made. Then we will appreciate time. And then the qasam which Allah takes, well, Allah takes a qasam of time. Imagine how Allah is so great. But to convince us, Allah is taking a qasam of time. Then we will appreciate time. And a person who gets 2 minutes in this world and used it correctly. For example, a person only got time for 2 hours in Medina Sharif. But he used it correctly. He's successful. And a person got 20 days in Medina Sharif. But he didn't make one namaz with Jamaat. He didn't go in front of Rauza-i Mubarak to read Salatul Salam. What is the 20 days? So to appreciate time, whatever time, for that this procedure is necessary. For that we are having the Islahi Jalsa tomorrow inshallah in the Masjid al-Salam from Asr till Isha. Try and attend there and become conscious of these things. That our Islah, that this time Allah has given us in this dunya, we must make it valuable. Otherwise, like for example, a businessman, 15 December, he puts a board on his shop door that gone fishing to Walvis Bay, to Namibia. Hey, December time, 25th December is coming, he's gone fishing. Like that, we are doing fishing. Our 25th December, our akhirat is here. Our mort is here. But we are gone fishing, we are gone holidaying, we gone on a cruise, we gone on all these things. We not appreciating time, to value time. So for that, inshallah, this Allah reward the brothers of Lodiab who made this effort to have this Islahi Jalsa. So let us benefit, it is here. As Maulana Abdul Rahman said, that we have to go by the man of Allah. And now Allah made it that the Jalsa is be kept here. So take full advantage, inform as many brothers as possible. There are programs for the ladies tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon. There will be program for the youth tomorrow morning, very important. And mashallah, these youth programs are proving to be very, very useful and beneficial for our youth. Try and send our youth to these programs, inshallah. Ladies program tomorrow afternoon from Asr to Isha, the men's program in Masjid al-Salam, all try to attend, inshallah. Anything else, Wali Ahmed? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Oh Allah, accept what we have said. Oh Allah, give us the tawfiq to make amal. Grant us the reality. Oh Allah, we on our own can do absolutely nothing. You are our Allah. You are the controller of our hearts. You are the controller of our bodies, of every part of our body, our minds and our hearts, our eyes and our tongues. Oh Allah, you guide us to righteousness. Oh Allah, we want to please you. Oh Allah, shaitan is putting all the temptations, but you are the greatest, oh Allah. Shaitan also is nothing in front of you. Our nafs also is nothing in front of you. You guide us to righteousness. You accept us. Oh Allah, make this Islahi Jalsa a great success, oh Allah. Accept it fully, oh Allah. Make it a means for the changing point of our lives for good, oh Allah. Oh Allah, reward the brothers who have been working and who are working for this Islahi Jalsa. Oh Allah, grant every goodness to our men and our women, our old and our young, oh Allah, in our dunya and our akhirat, oh Allah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'u al-alim wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina Muhammad وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. See, I finished dead on time. This is the end of it.